Hey, this is Erin.
I'm Melissa.
And we're Trending Spokane, a weekly podcast all about the latest in the Lilac City.
Finding out what is happening right now in Spokane can be overwhelming, but not if you're an insider.
Join us as we shine light onto the latest happenings and chat about the future of our city.
Each episode will introduce you to people you want to know, places you need to visit, and local knowledge you can't live without.
We will help you get out and get involved.
Episodes are dropping soon, and make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts now.
Lutheran Community Services brings people health, justice, and hope. They serve more than 50,000 people a year across Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, helping to make the world safer, healthier, and a more hopeful place for us all. At Lutheran Community Services, they bring people health, justice, and hope. Their mission is to advocate for and support victims of trauma because when healing happens, families and community are stronger. Everyone is welcome at LCS, and their inclusive wraparound services change lives all over our region. Join us in supporting this important cause at the Chocolate and Champagne Gala on Saturday, April 15th. Tickets are available now at lcsnw.org. Welcome to the podcast, Kay. We are so excited to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, and it's really nice to meet both of you.
Well, we have so many questions for you, and congratulations again on the honor from the YWCA Women of Achievement. We are so excited to join you at that celebration this year, and it is such a huge part of our community. What was the action or part of your job that led you to getting this incredible honor?
It all really focuses around doing a COVID, which we're all tired of hearing about, but the COVID vaccinations and how we were able to help vaccinate a large portion of Spokane.
And when you say a large portion of Spokane and talking about COVID vaccinations, was this early in the pandemic when it was incredibly necessary to get as many people vaccinated as possible? And can you estimate approximately how many people you participated in vaccinating?
So first COVID cases were December of 2019, and then we didn't get COVID vaccine until December of 2020. So it was January of 2021 that we actually started. And it was, I think January 4th was probably our first clinic. So we connected with Summit Cancer Center, who had been approved to be a COVID vaccination site. And this was at the time when we were just vaccinating healthcare workers. So it started out with the healthcare workers. We were doing it 3 days a week. I think we did that through March. And then we just started expanding. I worked with Frida Gandhi at MLK Community Center and was like, hey, would you like some vaccine clinics there? And she was totally on board with that. And that was, I think, one of our most favorite places to vaccinate because the staff at MLK were fabulous to work with. And it was really at a point where we were able to vaccinate people that had less access. So we were really targeting specific populations. So over, it's again, really hard to estimate because we did, and I think really even though before we were at MLK, we were also at the convention center. We partnered with Chaz. We were at the convention center. And then Chaz moved to Gonzaga University for a while to do that and Spokane Community College. So we were a part of all of those helping to provide not just vaccinators, but other people because it took a lot of people to do that. And then we started at MLK and we're actually still out there vaccinating. But the estimate that somebody gave us was over 30,000 people that we've helped to vaccinate. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is absolutely incredible. Well, we have to thank you for the incredible service that you provided our community through that work. And bravo to WSU School of Nursing for taking part in that and recognizing the importance of keeping our community safe and getting us to the point where we would no longer be in a pandemic situation and we can move toward the fun endemic stage.
Yeah, thank you so much for all of the work you've done too and on the award that you received. But community health, you mentioned you teach a class about community health. What got you interested in community health, health in general? Can you explain your background?
Very interesting question, because as I told you a little bit earlier, I'm kind of a late bloomer. I've always wanted to go to school, but didn't always have the opportunity. Then I got married, had kids. So I was actually 42 before I was able to start or go to school, take my, do the prereqs to get into the nursing program. as I went through the program, I kept thinking and I kept saying, all right, God, if you really want me to be a nurse, this will happen. This will happen. It wasn't until I got into, it was actually my pediatric rotation, and I got to go to the health department in the Tri-Cities at Ben Franklin Health Department. And it was like, okay, this is where I belong. So I just knew at that point that I think my heart was working with the more vulnerable populations and some of the underserved. And that's really where it started. And so community health, population health, I started teaching right after. I graduated from the BSN program in December of 2007 and went right into the master's program in January of 2008. And I've never left. Well, I think gone for a semester. I went back and started as a TA in the fall of 2008 teaching, and I've been in community health ever since. So.
Well, nursing is near and dear to my heart because my grandmother was a nurse. My aunt is a nurse. I went to nursing school for a couple of years. You may not have known that, friends. But I'm so impressed with the level of resilience that the healthcare occupations have shown, not only through the pandemic, but also through all of these changes that we've had, through how the community is served through healthcare in our community. Most importantly, oh my goodness, if you've been to an emergency room lately, you understand how understaffed and overtaxed every person who's in the healthcare field is currently. And as an educator, you get to have a unique view into what your students are going to be up against. How do you prepare the students that you work with for the healthcare field?
Well, it's interesting that you said that because I just came from a meeting where faculty was talking about violence in the workplace and how we have a lot of people who go through the strenuous and rigorous process of going through the nursing program only to work for a year or two and then leave because of the demands, the short staffing, and some of the violence there. And so that's kind of one thing that we're challenged with right now is how do we educate our students to be able to, first of all, maybe identify a threat, not become victims themselves, and how to, because sometimes the violence may come from other healthcare workers. How are they able to stand up for themselves and say, I'm sorry, but what you just said is not appropriate, or that's hurtful and it needs to stop. So it's a major challenge that we have. I mean, we only get them for 2 years in the nursing program, and it's really very hard to impart all the information, all the education that we like. But a lot of that comes from their clinicals that they do. So they get to do some of that real work, hands-on stuff in clinicals. So it's a challenge, and we keep revising, you know, our curriculum. We're looking at a new curriculum. Soon we're going more to maybe a competency-based rather than a concept-based. So always looking, evaluating. That's what we do in nursing. You do something, you evaluate, does it work? And then you look to see how you can improve it.
That is really beautiful, beautifully stated. And it is such an honor to get to interview you today and to get to learn more about all of the things that you're doing to prepare students. I remember my clinical days so fondly, and I had some wild experiences that I haven't even shared with you, Melissa. But, you know, my first postmortem care, oh my gosh, that was a whole thing. Learning about how to take care of people who struggle with mental health issues. Sometimes they attack you and have no idea that they're even doing something wrong. So as a healthcare professional, what do you see as a trend in providing services to patients who are struggling with mental health care specifically? I know that it has been so hard for the community to wrap around, especially in a community health-driven program, providing adequate services for mental health. So how do you see that changing in the next 5 to 10 years?
That's a big question,
right? And it's not an easy one. And gosh, I wish I had the answers. I think what we need to do is we need to be able to get more people trained to be mental health providers. And I know WSU is trying to do that. We have a psych mental health nurse practitioner program and for graduate school. But again, we can only take so many students. It's kind of the same thing. We have limited faculty, limited space to put students in. But I think really needs to be a focus on across the country How can we educate more people to work in the mental health field and bring more people into ed services? Because right now it's very difficult for anyone to even get in to see anybody. And even if they're in a crisis, it's hard to find help. So I really think a focus needs to be on that. But the other thing is, let's stop dealing with it downstream. We need to go upstream and find out what's causing all of this and intervene much earlier to prevent it, because we're never going to be able to catch up with it otherwise.
Don't forget to put inspiration and entertainment on your calendar. Get season tickets now to SDCU's Best of Broadway. You can have first access to popular touring productions with live music and top talent, special offers from nearby restaurants, and so much more. West Coast Entertainment is a locally operated independent presenter of national touring Broadway productions, concerts, and other special events. Don't miss a single show-stopping moment. Learn more about their upcoming season by checking out BroadwaySpokane.com.
So you are part of community health and you work within the community. You teach at, teach future nurses and all that who will be out in the community. Our audience is obviously community-based. You're speaking to the community here. So if there was one thing that you wanted the community to know about pandemics or about just general community health, what would be something that people could take away, like an action they could do today, tomorrow, in the future for their family, for themselves, to stay healthy and take care of themselves and their community?
Another great question. And I think a lot of it goes back to nutrition and taking care of yourself. I mean, the things our moms tried to tell us when we were young, we just don't listen. And America is such a wonderful country and we have such amazing options, but many of them are just not healthy for us. So I think we really need to look at what we're putting in our bodies. We need to exercise. We need to get sleep. We need to drink a lot of water. So there's just really some real basic things. But for so many people, I have to tell you, those are not options for them. So we really need to look at equitable access for everyone, because the health of everyone in our community affects the whole community. So I think as a community, as a nation, we really need to be looking and helping those people that don't have the access and the underserved, and making sure that they have equal access to that as well. So it's not just taking care of ourselves, but our neighbors and those in our community.
That is so beautifully put. And, you know, in Spokane, we still have food deserts where people are unable to access, you know, high quality fruits, vegetables, the things that they should be eating, not to mention all the other struggles that go along with poverty that put a challenge on, you know, their ability to take care of themselves. But the work that you've done is so impressive, and the YWCA obviously took notice, and it's wonderful to get to see you honored this year. With regard to your career and looking back on the last 5 years, what do you think your proudest achievement is in relation to your work?
Well, I think my proudest achievement, it's almost like having children, but my students, to see them out working and doing really good work in the community. You know, I think about if I was a work, because right now I'm not working clinically, I think the work I do better. It's kind of like a ripple effect, because I'm helping to educate and hopefully imparting my passion for the people in our communities, that I'm sending more people out to do the work than if it was just me. So I think my proudest thing is to see the students that have graduated, to have them, they'll write back or send me notes, or I'll see them in the community and they tell me what an impact I made on their life. And I think that's probably the proudest thing I've done.
Well, I can't imagine a better note to end on. Thank you so much, Kay, for coming on the program today, and we look forward to seeing you honored at the YWCA Women of Achievement Awards.